Good morning. Welcome back to the topic we started last week called Stronger Together. If you were with us last week, you would remember our key passage. And if you weren't, I'm going to share it with you today. We find it in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. It says this: Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. If you were with us last week, you might remember my rope. And if you weren't with us, meet my rope. This is basically what Ecclesiastes is talking about. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken, or a rope with three strands is not easy to break. I don't know if you remember or if you weren't here with us last week. You could always go back and rewatch everything on our YouTube channel if you miss a week. But we talked about what makes a rope a rope. And so this rope, for instance, as you can see as I twist it, has three strands in it, or three cords in it. And a rope is made with a number of tiny fibers. And each fiber on their own is not very strong. In fact, if you and I pulled on a fiber, we'd probably snap it with very little effort, maybe no effort. But the rope is made by taking those strands of fiber and they weave them together and they weave them into these cords. And then they take these three cords and they weave them together, and voila, we've got a rope. And this rope, believe it or not, this rope can hold 700 pounds. So you take a tiny fiber, on its own is not very strong, but together they are stronger together. And that's what we learned last week. A cord of three strands is not quickly or easily broken. And we looked at the three cords of the three strands of our lives that we need to intertwine together to make us stronger. We learned this, that we are stronger in Christ. That Jesus is the foundation for our life and everything we are. Our lives have to be entwined with the life of Christ. And we learned that we are stronger in weakness, because when we are weak, He is strong. And we learned that we are stronger together, that God gave us a family of faith. He gave us other believers to help us be stronger together. So that's what I want to pick up today. I want to start with where we left off last week and look at what are some of the ways that we are stronger together. What are some of the things? I'm going to give you four. Four things that we do as a family of faith, as the body of Christ, as the church, that make us stronger together. And the first is this: we pray for each other. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 say this: I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He's writing to the believers, the church in Philippi. In fact, we're going to look at a few of the verses this morning as he teaches us and tells us a few things about being stronger together. But the first thing he tells us is that we pray for each other. He says, I pray for you. How encouraging is that? Isn't it encouraging when you hear somebody say, oh, by the way, I prayed for you? I remember many years ago, I was going through a tough time, and it was early on a Sunday morning as I was getting alone and getting ready for church. And somebody texted me, like it was 7:30 in the morning. Like, I didn't even think this person would be up. This person texted me and said, hey, I've been praying for you today because God asked me to. That was an encouragement. I wasn't expecting it, and I was flabbergasted. But you see, prayer is something we get to do for each other. It makes us stronger together. Because when you know somebody is praying for you, it makes you feel better. And there's something unique that happens between believers when we pray for each other. something that happens to us in our spirit life and something that happens to us even in our physical life, that we sometimes feel like a burden has been lifted, even if it's for a short time, it helps us. We pray for each other. See, we are stronger together when we pray for each other. Now, there's a couple places, even here at Highway, where we can pray for each other. One of them is our Sunday gatherings, our in-person, on-site gatherings at the Highway building. If you haven't been with us for a while, we take time in every service where we put up a slide on the screen during our prayer time, and we ask people to pray over the needs. And the needs that are listed on that slide come from you. You share a prayer request, you want somebody to pray with you, then we have a chance to pray for each other when we gather here. Another great place we have where we can pray for each other is in our monthly prayer meetings. Every month we gather. We've been gathering mostly online for the last little while. Before that, we'd gather in the building together and we get to pray together. We pray into topics together. We sometimes get to literally pray with each other and for each other. And so we do that in our monthly prayer meetings. And then another great place where we can pray for each other is in our small groups. Small groups exist to have people connect. And when we connect with each other, our small groups always take time to pray and always take time to, if need be, pray with and for each other. So we're stronger together when we pray for each other. Another area that we're stronger together in is we get to stand with each other. You know, we carry each other's burdens. We spur each other on. And again, Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 25, he says this, "But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs." Paul mentions a gentleman here by the name of Epaphroditus. And notice the words that he uses to describe him. He's a brother, he's a co-worker, he's a fellow soldier, he's a messenger. He was essentially a helper. So it turns out that the Philippian church, the Philippian believers, had sent Epaphroditus to Paul. Paul is most likely in prison or in house arrest here when he's writing. And they send Epaphroditus to be a helper to him. Excuse me. Send Epaphroditus to be a helper to him. And Paul is encouraged by that because he knows that this church in Philippi, although they're a distance away, they are standing with him. And another thing he tells them in the same letter in chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says this, "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only." When Paul set out on his journey to share the gospel with other places and people, he said, "Nobody stood with me except you, the people in Philippi, the church in Philippi, the believers in Philippi. You stood with me." And and that's what Paul says is important for us to understand. One of the things that we should be known for as Christians, as believers, as Jesus followers, one of the things that we should be known for is that we stand with each other. The world we live in today seems to be a world of such division. People are divisive over anything or everything. I think it hurts God's heart when there's division inside the church. I think God is bothered when resentment creeps up in the church, in the body of Christ. See, Christians today seem to be divided on many things that have no eternal value. We're divided on politics. We're divided on vaccines and masks. We're divided on sports. We're divided on worship styles. Sometimes we're we're judgmental of people for no reason, except maybe they look different or sound different or come from a different place. And I think this hurts the heart of God. Instead of tearing each other down, we need to be building each other up. We need to learn to stand with each other. Instead of tearing others down, we need to stand up and stand for each other. Instead of putting people down, we need to build them up. We need to be the love of Jesus shared with this world. We need to be the words of God expressed through our lives, sharing hope to those who need hope. We need to be the family of faith that stands with and for each other, based on the single fact that we all belong to Jesus. See, one of the best places to stand with each other is in one of our small groups. Are you feeling alone? Are you feeling unknown? Are you feeling lost? Do you feel like nobody knows you? Do you feel like sometimes nobody cares except maybe those who live in your house, and sometimes you're not even sure about them? Do you wonder if anybody in church even knows you or knows your name or knows anything about you? Well, the place where you can find answers to all of these questions is in our small groups. That's why we have small groups. That's why they exist. See, small groups are a place to connect and grow. It's a place where you can connect with God and grow in your relationship with Jesus. It's a place where you can connect with other people and grow in relationship with other people. That's why we have small groups. Small groups is a place to belong. So we are stronger together when we stand with each other. And we are stronger together when we inspire each other, where we give each other confidence, where we gain courage from one another. Again, Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 14. He says this, "And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." See, Paul was saying, my example is an inspiration to others. What he's talking about here is he's in chains. He's imprisoned. He says, because the believers around have seen what I have endured, they see that I've not given up on my faith, I've not given up on the gospel, I have not turned my back on Jesus, even though I'm in prison. Because I have stood strong in my time of testing, I have been able to inspire other people to do the same. And Paul was saying, my life stands as an inspiration to others because I have not lost my hope in God. They were emboldened in their faith because Paul was steadfast in his. Paul's example is an inspiration to others. Your life lived together with others in community is an example to them. That's why it is important that we be together. That's why we need each other. That's why we gather. That's why we need you to be part of this community. You help us and you inspire us. That's why we are stronger together. That's why you need to be part of everything we have, because we are better together than we are apart. When you are part of the church, when you're part of a Sunday gathering, when you're part of a small group, when you're part of a prayer time, you inspire others just by your presence. You inspire others by the way that you live for Jesus in front of them. And the fourth thing we're going to see today, why we are stronger together, is we get to encourage each other. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 24 says this, We must also consider how to encourage each other to show love and do good things. We should not stop gathering together with other believers as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. When we get together, in person, or even if it's virtually like we are right now, we both get encouragement and we are needed to give the encouragement. So what I'm saying is, when we gather together, you get encouragement, and when we gather together, you also give encouragement. It's a two-way street. So many times we are conditioned to come to a gathering and to ask ourselves, or we expect in our gathering, well, what will I get from this? What good will this be for me? I mean, have you ever left a Sunday service, a Sunday gathering, or even a small group meeting, and as you were driving home or riding the bus, did you ever say to yourself, well, I didn't get anything out of that? Do you ever turn to somebody with you and go like, that was a waste of my time? I think sometimes we come with the wrong mindset. We come and we gather together to say, what could I get? Instead of understanding that when we gather together, we do it to encourage each other. Some weeks, you're going to need to be the one who gives the encouragement. Yes, I know there are times in life that we're all going through difficult times. I know there are times that you've had hard weeks and tough times. Maybe you're facing some battles and you need to come to church to be encouraged. I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying in the weeks that you don't need that, you need to be the encouragement to the person who does. See, you don't know who's sitting around you. You don't know who might be sitting in your row or right behind you, right in front of you. You don't know what they are going through. They may be going through one of the darkest times of their lives. And yet they've come to church, they've gathered with other believers in hope that they receive hope, in hope that they could come and be encouraged to face even one more day. And you might be the person who will speak hope and encouragement into their life. Don't miss the opportunity. That's why we are stronger together. See, at some point, we all need encouragement, and at some point, we all need to give encouragement. This week, I encourage you. You like that word? This week, I'm challenging you, but this week, I encourage you. Look for opportunities to encourage someone. Look for somebody. Be aware. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Allow God to guide you. As you go through this week, look for an opportunity where you can encourage someone for no other reason than being the love of Jesus to somebody else. If they're a believer, encourage them to love God more. If they're a pre-believer, if they haven't come to know God yet, live God before them so that they could become interested in finding about the Jesus that you serve. So God gave us this church, this body of believers, this family of faith. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are together as a family because God knew that we are stronger together. I want you to know that as we come out of these last 18 months of pandemic lifestyle, we need to remember that we are stronger together. We weren't designed to live in our own little cocoons. We were designed to do life together. One of the greatest things we need right now is each other, because together we are stronger. Together we can pray for each other. Together we can stand with each other. Together we can inspire each other. And together we can encourage each other. And I want you to remember this, that Highway is a place to belong. And you belong here. One of the best places where you can feel stronger together is in our small groups. We are getting ready to soon launch our fall semester of small groups. They're going to kick off on October the 17th. It just so happens on that week, we are also going to kick off and launch our campaign series called Daring Faith. Next week, we're going to tell you a whole lot more about this campaign series. We're going to tell you how you could be involved. We're going to tell you the elements that are involved. But I want you to just have a little taste right now that the campaign series is going to be based around the Sunday teaching. It'll be discussed in your small groups, and you'll have a workbook where you can take fill in the blanks on Sunday teaching, and you could also, there'll be 40 days of devotionals that take us through the 6 weeks. And so you can get that in a study guide that we're going to be making available to you next week, and you can start to get them then. I just want to remind you, church, that we are stronger together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you knew how you made us, that it wasn't good for us to be alone, and you designed us to be stronger together, to need each other. So, Father, I pray for those today who might be feeling lonely, unsure. I ask, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, you would surround them with a sense of your peace and your love. Lord, for the rest of us, that you would remind us that we are in need of one another. Help us to live life stronger together. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've been watching this today and you're not a follower of Jesus, you've never made a decision, but you've been thinking as we talk about stronger together, how you would love to be part of a family of faith like this. I want you to know there's always room for people at Highway. It's a place to belong. And you belong with Jesus. And Jesus loves you and cares for you, came to this world to die for you so your sins could be forgiven, so that you could live in a relationship with God. And if today you say, I want that, I want to know more about a relationship with Jesus, about living for God, we want to help you in your spiritual journey. And I ask that you would just pick up your phone and you would text us the word love, just the single word love, to our number 416-267-1189, and then follow the prompts that are there so that we could be back in touch with you. We want to help you on your spiritual journey, and we are so glad that you have joined us here today at Highway Online. Again, thank you for being with us. Trust that you'll join us again next weekend, either here online or in person on site in the Highway building. We are open. We have limited seating. So if you do want to come, we just ask you to go to our website, highwaygospel.ca, and scroll down just a little bit to reserve my spot and follow all the questions there. And you will have your seat reserved for you here next Sunday morning as well. In the meantime, have a great week. Be blessed and stay safe.